That is on page number 796 in the Pew Bible, John chapter number 17, beginning in verse number 24. We'll read through verse number 26. John 17, verse number 24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray. Father, once again we come asking that You'd bless Your word unto us. Ask that You'd open it unto us, help us to understand it, see it, know, Father, what it means. Apply it unto our hearts and lives. Be able to glory in its marvelous truth and worship You and honor You and adore You because of it. I ask that You be with those, our brethren, who are not here this morning. Father, pray for those that are in our midst that do not know You, have not come to know You, that You would grant them repentance, that You would give them faith, that they may believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we've come to verse number 24 of John chapter 17. And here we find our Lord in His prayer praying for us that we would be with Him. We've already spoke somewhat about that this morning in some of the verses that we read. But our Lord's praying that we would be with Him where He is. Of course, we know where He is when He's saying these words. And, you know, He's not talking about being with Him upon the earth. But He's talking about being with Him as if the cross has already happened, as if He's already seated at the right hand of the Father. That we'd be with Him where He is, there, seated at the right hand of the Father. You remember in John 14, verse 3, when the Lord was telling the disciples that He must go away, and their hearts are very heavy. What do you mean You have to go away? You know, we've waited all of these centuries for You to come. And You came in our lifetime. And we've known You, and we've walked with You. And now You have to go away? Why do You have to go away? Well, in the third verse of John 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for You. I'm going to make ready. I'm going to prepare a place to receive You. That where I am, you may be also. He says, I'll come again for you. I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, ye may be also. So what he's saying here, verse number 24, as he's praying, the high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Isn't it an amazing thing that the Lord wills that we should be with Him? I said earlier this morning, there's more in Christ for us than, you know, from our estimation, there is in us for Christ. But that's because we see so much of our sinfulness in us. And we see so far short, how we fall so far short of glorifying God in everything that we do. We fall short of presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. We fall far short of seeing the glory in ourselves and the holiness in ourselves that we see in Him. But it's an amazing thing. He's willing to have us. Willing to have us. Willing to die for us. willing for us to be with Him where He is. That's an amazing thing. I will that they also may be with me. Those you've given me may be with me where I am. He desires. It is a desire of Christ. It is a desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a desire of the Son of God that you, as His children, as the children of God, would be with Him where He is. That's a comforting thing. That He wants us to be there. He desires for us to be there. He petitions the Father that we would be there. I will that they would be with me where I am. It's one of the last things the Lord prays here. One of the last things that He prays for is that we would be with Him where He is. Being with Christ where He is what will make heaven heaven. There would be no heaven. You need to understand this if you don't. There would be no heaven apart from Christ. This is like last week, and I was trying to get as near as I can with earthly relationships to this. The love that a young man may have for a young woman, you know, that blossoms into a relationship that ends, you know, in marriage, in a life that they share together. If you've ever experienced or known that kind of love, it's something. I'm not going to say that it is that. It's something of that which we ought to possess in our own hearts for Christ, that He does possess in His heart for us. And that's why He prays here, I will that they would be with me where I am. But that's what's going to make heaven heaven is Christ. I mean, what do you think of when you think of heaven? And what makes heaven heaven? What makes heaven heaven to you? Well, I read about those streets of gold. I read about that sea of glass. I read about those mansions up there. Well, you know, there's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no death. And those are all true. Those are all things that Scripture talks about. But what makes heaven heaven unto you? Well, my wife who went on to be with the Lord before me, she'll be there. Or my children that died in the Lord, you know, before me will be there. My mom and dad, you know, they'll be there. What makes heaven heaven unto you? Whatever your thoughts may be, what they should be is Christ. That is what will make heaven heaven. Being with Him where He is, that is heaven. There is no heaven apart from Christ. Being with Him. That's our desire. Now, it's not to say that Christ is not with us now. I mean, He's in us. He's with us. Wherever two or three gather together, there I'll be in their midst also. He's in us. He dwells with us, taking up residence within us by the Spirit. But there's more. There's more to be had. That's the earnest of our inheritance. There's more to be had of Christ. Now, there's more to be had of Christ. You could have more of Christ right now than you have. You know that? Everybody sitting here, myself included, we could all have more of Christ than we have. But even when you get all that you're going to get in this life of Christ, and we should be desiring to have more and more of Him and to be more and more like Him, there's still more to be had of Him in heaven. We're not going to get all that we can get here and there not be anything there. Part of that is logistics in a sense, because we'll be there beholding His face. Now, I have His presence with me. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Martyrs that have stood and died in flames, have died by lions, mauling them, feasting upon their flesh. They've had the presence of Christ. But there's something more than that for us to behold, beholding His face. Remember Stephen, as he was being stoned, as they were hurling those stones at him and stoning him to death, he saw something even before he passed from this life into the next, of that which we shall know then that we do not know now. Paul knew something of it, being caught up in the third heaven, but Stephen saw Christ there in heaven, receiving Him even as He was dying, as He was praying for those who were throwing stones at Him, saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But Christ makes heaven, heaven. Just living forever and being forgiven of our sins, though those are glorious things, especially the latter part, being forgiven all of my transgression. That's part of it. But what makes heaven, heaven is Christ. Christ is all. We sing about that, don't we? We didn't sing that song this morning, but Christ is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. There'll be no need for the sun there, because the glory of Christ, the book of Revelation tells us, will shine. He is the light of heaven. The glory of Christ. He says that they may behold my glory. So in other words, verse 24, when the Lord says, "I will that they would be here with me where I am," that's what makes heaven, heaven. It's the glory of Christ. You know, if you're a child of God, that's what you're going to spend the remainder of your days after this life, is glorifying Christ, beholding the glory of Christ. There's been things that we have beheld. I'm sure when I gave that ring to my wife, when she first saw that diamond, she beheld that. This is a symbol, the love and affection that I had. And we talked about this son last week. You hold your first child. There's things that we behold, and you know how you feel, and if you're feeling rightly about it, that you were glorifying God because of it. This is a gift from you. This is something that you've given me. And I glorify you because that expression, that feeling of joy and excitement, that's going to be forever. There's not going to be any interruption. The glimpse of the glory of Christ that you have caught here upon the earth, it's just been a little glimmer that we catch at times. We see Christ in others. We see Christ in the Scripture. We see God doing things in our lives, and we catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ. That is what heaven is going to be like forever. And it's not going to be ending. And it's not going to be something that's going to peak, and then it's going to go down this valley, and it's going to peak again. It's something that's going to be continuous. But that's what will make heaven, heaven, is Christ is there. Christ is there. That is the thing that will make heaven supremely heaven, is Christ. So whatever our thoughts of heaven, the supreme one, because those other things that we said are true. Yes, loved ones will be there. Yes, there's no more sickness or death. Yes, there's no more pain, Sister Louise. No more sorrow. No more tears that will dim the eye because of sorrow. There's no more sin. No more wicked thoughts. No more sinful tendencies. All be gone. But the supreme thought is that Christ is there. The supreme thought of heaven is Christ. Not only will we be with the Lord, but Scripture says we'll also be like Him. Again, the supreme thought is Him, being with Him forever. That's a supreme thought. We'll also be like Him, though. 1 John 3:2 says, "We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We've seen somewhat of what He is, who He is. But we'll see Him as He is. We'll see more of Him than we have ever known before. It'll be more glorious than I can describe to you. How are we going to be like Him? Well, in respect to His character, will we like Him in love and holiness? Will we like Him in wisdom and truth and mercy? In respect to our body, we'll have a glorified body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 15. Why don't you turn over there? I'll give you time. Sometimes I don't always give you time to turn to a passage, but read a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 15. We'll read into the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse 15. It's page number 854 in the Pew Bible if you're using that. 2 Corinthians 4:15. "For all things are for your sakes." Isn't that amazing? Think of all that has been done throughout history. Think about all that Christ has done, all that God has done for us in Christ. "All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," and it is daily. It's like Spurgeon said, you put, you know, a casket right beside the crib, because that's where we're all heading. "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction..." Why can the Scripture say that? Why can the Scripture say light affliction? Because of the glory of Christ that will be there in heaven. You know, we sing, "It will be worth it all," when we see Jesus. That's what the Scripture is talking about. Everything that you've been through, the worst of it, light affliction, in comparison to what is yours, the inheritance that is yours, the inheritance is Christ. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment..." Yeah, but I live to be 121 years old. I don't know if anybody's done that or not. But when I get life insurance quotes ran for people, the guy that does them for me, I always tell him, I said, "Run it out to 121. You know, I don't want to run it till 80 or 85. I want to run it all the way out, as far as it'll go. That's as far as life insurance company will go, is 121. But if we live to be 121 or 122, or however old we live to be, light affliction. Light affliction. Momentary light affliction. It's but for a moment. What is this life compared to eternity? I mean, you can't even say it's a drop in the bucket. You can't even say that it's dust upon the scales. You can't. It's nothing compared to eternity. This little bit of time that we spend upon the earth, and the little bit of suffering that we have, in this little bit of time that we live upon the earth, worketh for us. These things that we complain about are working for us a far more exceeding, far more exceeding. It's not just going to edge out the suffering that we had in this life by a little bit. It's not just going to be a photo finish, okay? It's far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. This is temporal, that's eternal. How can you even compare the two? "While we look not at things which are seen, And we do plenty of that. We need to do less of that, looking at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're momentary. They're not going to last. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse number 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the spirit of our inheritance. It's just, we've been given a little portion of it here and now. There'll be so much more of it to be had there hereafter. Christ is all the glory. Christ is our inheritance. Christ has prayed and sought and desired of the Father that we would be with Him where He is. That ought to be a supreme thought upon your mind and your hearts. You ought to contemplate that more and more. You ought to meditate upon that. Let it feed your soul. My Lord has willed that I would be with Him where He is, that I might see His glory, that I might behold His face, that I might dwell with Him in unbroken communion forever and ever and ever. Now the Lord prayed for the disciples' sanctification before, but here He's praying for our glorification, that we might be with Him where He is. We have a vantage point here. We see somewhat of His glory, but we see through a glass darkly now. Isn't that what Scripture says? Then we shall go beyond the gates of splendor and dwell with Him forevermore, see Him face to face, and then we will truly know even as we are known. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and in low the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's going to come a day when we're going to know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God. I can remember standing here one Saturday or Sunday, and Brother Don Johnson was here that weekend, and we were talking about the love of God. And I said something to him along the lines of, you know, what if God were to reveal unto us here and now, at this moment, in these bodies, Himself, and declare unto us all of His love for us? He said our eyeballs would melt in our sockets. We don't possess the bodies to be able to behold that as of yet. We see something of it. We see through a glass darkly now, though. Then we'll see, Scripture says, face to face. So our Lord is looking beyond the grave to the glory that will be ours with Him in eternity, when we're with Him where He is, because He wills that we should be. He's going to the cross to make that purchase Himself and make us His possession, that we might be with Him where He is in heaven. But it reminds me what Paul's talking about there in Ephesians, of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Moses. You remember in Exodus 33 when he says, show me your glory. And God says, no man can see my face and live. But I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll make my hinder parts, my afterglow, pass before you. We will behold His glory. We behold His glory now. Scripture tells us that in the face of Jesus Christ. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But then we will see Him face to face. We'll behold His glory. We'll look upon Him. Can you imagine looking upon Him who died for us? Beholding His glory. Is that, have you ever not known that desire? And surely if you're a child of God, you've known that desire. You've desired that. Lord, that I might be with you. That you desire it like Paul did. And he said, to be absent from the body with the Lord is far better. He said, I know it's necessary for me to be here with you, but I would, if I could be with the Lord. And think about the fact that he did get caught up in the third heaven. He was there in the heavens and saw things he couldn't even repeat. Unlawful, he said, even to speak of. And you think about disciples who saw the Lord transfigured before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. People that caught greater glimpses even than we've caught. At least none of you told me that you've been caught up in the third heaven. But think about people who saw that. You know, and yet they had to remain here. The disciples who walked with the Lord and He left them bodily, and they remained here. And they watched Him ascend up into the heavens. And the angels had to stop them and say, look, you know, the one whom you're beholding ascend up in heaven is going to come again in like manner. But He's left you here for a reason, in other words. You know, go about His business, glorifying His name, proclaiming the gospel. So the disciples saw something of the Lord's glory when He was transfigured, you know, before them. In Matthew chapter 17, it says that His face did shine as the sun. It's pretty hard to look into the sun. Back when we were kids, we were told not to. You know, they'd take us outside to watch an eclipse and say, you can't look directly at it. You got to look to this little hole in this box and you hold it this way. You know. But His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. They caught a glimpse. We have too. We've caught a glimpse of the glory of Christ. But we can say, as 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. In other words, we have seen something of it. We know something of it. But then we're going to know even as we are known. Then we're going to behold Him face to face. This is what the Lord's praying for, is that we might be with Him where He is. In that passage that we read earlier, that I had you turn to, Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. We have the earnest of our inheritance, the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Do you find yourself at times groaning for this that the Lord is praying for? That we might be with Him where He is. Waiting for the adoption we are, the redemption of our own body. We have an inheritance. We have an abode, eternal in the heavens, a house not made with hands. It's not simply wages like a servant receives from his master but it's an inheritance freely given unto us by God that the Lord here is praying for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That we might know now, we want to know more in that which is to come. So, how's your heart? Is it set upon these things? Is it set upon Christ as your inheritance? Do you dwell frequently upon that? Do you bathe your soul in these thoughts? That He is my exceeding great reward. That I shall be... These are momentary light afflictions. These things are but for a moment. I'm going to dwell with my Lord for an eternity. I'm going to see His face. I'm going to behold His glory forever and ever. That heaven is mine. It's my inheritance. It's been given unto me by Christ. That He is my inheritance. Christ is my inheritance. Christ is my reward. Christ is my treasure. Isn't that something of an encouragement unto us? As I said before, when you come to your last days upon the earth, or your last moment, the last breath that you may take, the doctor comes in and says, it won't be long now. Isn't that an encouragement unto you? To think upon those things, then, no wonder that there were those in Scripture we see, they died and say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That was upon their minds. That was upon their hearts. What an encouragement this is for us to think upon. What the Lord has willed for us. I will that they be with me where I am. That when we die, we be with Him. We talked about that some this morning. You know, we die, what happens? We're with Him. We're present with Him. Like I was saying, Brother Johnny preached that funeral and he said that whatever the brother's name was, has no more faith. Doesn't have to have faith. There's sight. Faith has given way to sight. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember the beggar? Lazarus outside the rich man's gate. He died. What happened? Angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. In other words, carried him into the presence of Christ. The thief on the cross. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The agonies of death are terrible. But you know what? There's joy to exceed those agonies. Ready. Waiting. For us to pass from here to there. And the agonies here? Nothing to be compared with the joys. There. Can't even begin to compare them. All we can do is say, this is what the Scripture says. That they're momentary light afflictions. That the glory that we will behold of Christ in His kingdom, far more exceeding and eternal. Far more exceeding and eternal. So, it's an encouragement unto us. This that the Lord's praying for us for. It also engages us towards holiness. Behold what manner of love, 1 John chapter 3, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So here's the other thing this does, this next verse. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, even as he is pure. It also engages us towards holiness, to be holy as he is holy, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, according to Romans 12, verse number 1. Is your heart satisfied in the condition that it's in? Our hearts won't be fully and completely satisfied until we're like Him. And that engages us towards holiness, to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ, until that day when we are transformed and given a glorified body and we are completely free of the things. We break free, as it were, from orbit or from the gravity of the earth into a heavenly orbit, as it were. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That makes heaven heaven, because Christ is there. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's our joy to stand in His presence. It's our joy to be with Him. It's our joy to be made like Him. It's our joy to be holy and righteous. That's our joy. It's even our joy to suffer for His name's sake. The sinner knows nothing of that. He's not capable of knowing that. He's bound to his sin. He's estranged from God. That's why the Lord told the Jews in John chapter 7, He says, Yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, but you'll not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. He told those unbelieving Jews, Where I am, you cannot come. They said, Where are you going that we can't find you? Are you going to disperse yourself among the Gentiles and teach them? What manner of saying is this? They said, You shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We rejoice in being able to do that. Stand in His presence. Drink in His presence. The wicked man knows nothing of that. Knows nothing of heaven being heaven, because Christ is there. He says here, John 17, 24, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. So I would just ask, will you? Will you be there with Him where He is? If you're in Christ, you will be. He's lost none. Will you be there with Him where He is, to behold His glory? Is Christ the thing that satisfies you? Do you delight more in Christ than anything else? Are you ready and willing to die? That's the Christian. He's willing to die and be with Christ whenever God calls him. That's what satisfies him, is being with Christ. That's what he delights in more than anything else, is being with Christ. He wants to be where Christ is. He wants to behold His glory. So I ask, is that your heart's desire? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Look unto the Lord, that you might be saved.
all who come unto Him. There's none that He casts out, none whatsoever. Let's stand.